You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. NPR reported that on Monday, the Food and Drug Administration authorized the use of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine for children ages 12 to 15. Now, older teens and all adults are already eligible. A vaccine advisory committee to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is meeting right now to make recommendations about how the vaccine should be used. Now, what that means is this. About 87% of people in the United States could soon be able to be eligible to get the vaccine. NPR also reports that people under 18 account for one of every five newly reported coronavirus cases. Joining us today to talk more about this and to also answer your questions are Dr. David Pate, former CEO of St. Luke's Health System and a current member of the Idaho Coronavirus Task Force, Dr. Laura McGeorge, St. Luke's Health System Medical Director and Infectious Disease Expert, Dr. Birgit Dow with Sawtooth Epidemiology. Thanks, everybody, for joining us.
Hi, Gemma.
Hello.
So let's start with this authorization for emergency use for 12 to 15 year olds. Dr. Pate, this is something that we've been talking about on the program and waiting for this to happen. So kind of explain where we are right now, because even though the FDA authorized this on Monday, right now you still can't get your kiddo vaccinated.
Yeah, this is very exciting news that we will very shortly be able to vaccinate those that are 12 and older, because not so much that we worry that these 12, 13, 14, 15-year-olds are at tremendous health risk themselves, but they play a very important role in the transmission of this virus. They pose a risk to family members who might be at high risk. So this is really good news for getting this disease under control, and especially as we look forward to schools reopening in the fall. So where we are right now is, as you said, the FDA granted the emergency use authorization, and right now, The ACIP, this is the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices for the CDC, is meeting and will make their recommendation. I think all of us would fall out of our chairs if that recommendation wasn't overwhelmingly positive and for the use of this, and they'll give that guidance. Then we would expect that later today, the CDC director, Dr. Walensky, will probably sign off on this. And I think states will start vaccinating these 12 and above today or tomorrow.
So, Dr. McGeorge, what will that look like at St. Luke's? And I'm talking not just as a journalist, but as a mom with a kiddo that turned 13 on Monday. And I want to get him vaccinated as soon as possible.
Gemma, I'm glad you do. So there are a lot of people really excited about this. And, you know, it's kind of like the initial release where we had vaccines in adults. There was a scramble to get vaccinated. So I want people to know we have a lot of vaccine available, a lot of capacity. We are working through, you know, we anticipated going live with this week. So we are pretty much ready to go. Our plan will be that starting tomorrow morning, 7 a.m., people can sign up via MyChart. They can call on the phone or they can just show up. And I think we have sent out and we have on our website, you know, how you would sign up. The key is to remember with minors that they do need a parent or guardian to provide that consent. So that is what makes it a little bit different. Mm-hmm. But we have a Pfizer vaccine in all the main metro areas right now. So that's Nampa, Meridian, Boise, and Twin Falls. We also have Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson available on our mobile unit. Of course, the adolescents would only be able to get Pfizer. But again, if mom comes with a kid and mom wants a Johnson & Johnson, we've got that there too on the mobile unit. So lots of options. We are looking to move Pfizer into a couple of our more rural areas and are working on that as quickly as we can. There are, as you know, some operational challenges with the Pfizer vaccine that we're working through.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Dow, but even though this will, you know, hopefully be available to children 12 to 15 starting tomorrow, a recent survey showed that only 29% of parents with children under the age of 18 want to get their children vaccinated right away. Now, I think we should note that doesn't mean that, you know, 70% of parents are anti-vaccine. It's more of like they're not sure, or they want to have that wait and see, you know, to see how it goes. Are you concerned about that? Because that's a fairly low number.
I think that's going to change quickly once parents see other teenagers starting to get vaccinated and doing well, having minimal side effects, and being able to do more activities more safely in preparation for summer. Just like we saw with the adult vaccines when they rolled out, some people held back and they wanted to wait until millions of adults had been vaccinated and safely so. And then there was more vaccine acceptance. So I'm very confident that people will see how well it's working in teenagers and get on board. But we're always happy to have a conversation about concerned parents. I am more concerned that we have unprotected teenagers who could potentially get some of the complications of COVID that are rare but serious in children.
Yeah. I want to talk now about where Idaho is, because we are now officially in phase 4, which means large gatherings. You know, this is the first time we've been here. And with that said, Dr. Pate, some school districts have been discussing making masks optional. Now, we know the West Ada, after students testified that they wanted masks left in place for the remainder of the school year, West Ada voted to keep the mask mandate in place indoors, and then outside is optional. Valley View School District voted last night to make it optional beginning today. And yet here we are with, you know, waiting to get numerous children vaccinated. We do not have the highest vaccination rates in Idaho right now. What are your thoughts on where Idaho is?
Well, you know, first of all, let me mention, I listened to those students testifying last night, and I have to tell you, I was just incredibly impressed with how articulate they were, their commitment to caring for really all of their classmates, you know, this sense that we've seen far too less common among adults where we care for each other, but they were caring about the welfare of their other students. It was very, very refreshing. So where are we in Idaho? Well, you know, we are certainly doing much better. And having come off of a very huge surge in December and January, by comparison, you know, we are doing very well. I would caution, this pandemic is not over. We are continuing to see more and more variants. Even though our transmission in Idaho is much lower, if you compare where we are now to where we were at the peak of our very first surge, we're still higher. And we're still in that category of community spread. Now, I'm not proposing, you know, that we need to take radical steps. Of course not. But my point is, we still need to be cautious. We are on the border of two states that are having much higher activity. They're having their fourth surges. We are seeing a few counties that actually are having an uptick in their case rates. So my caution to schools is, look, it's wonderful your teachers have had a chance to be vaccinated, but your students have not. And as Dr. Dow just said, while most children do fine, some won't. Some will have problems. And some children in our schools have a lot of underlying medical conditions that can put them at risk. Further, some of those children live in homes where there are other people at risk. And so I think it's premature to give up the requirement for masks inside the classroom. That's where the highest risk is. And as I warned the West Ada School Board, you know, if we go too fast too soon, what we risk doing is just creating outbreaks in our schools. And now these kids that just have weeks of school left are going to be out either in isolation sick or in quarantine because they've been exposed. It's going to really affect the last part of the school year. It may affect graduations. It seems like, why would we want to do that?
Mm-hmm. Now, remember, when we do talk to our doctors, this is for general education and information for our listeners. This does not replace you actually going to your doctor and getting medical advice from your doctor, just FYI. Our panel, Dr. David Pate, former CEO of St. Luke's Health System and a current member of the Idaho Coronavirus Task Force, Dr. Laura McGeorge, St. Luke's Health System Medical Director and infectious disease expert, Dr. Bridget Dow with Sawtooth Epidemiology. We have a lot of questions, as you can imagine, in regards to this emergency approval for 12 to 15-year-olds. So, Dr. McGeorge, I want to start with the first one. We have someone who wrote in saying, how do we know the vaccine will work in kids? Have there been any studies?
Yes. So, first of all, we have been vaccinating kids age 16 and 17 now since January. And that is when, or, you know, maybe it was February, depending on when we got to that level in the vaccine distribution. But again, Pfizer has been FDA approved for late adolescents, again, age 16 and 17 for a while. And we've had a lot of data from initial studies, but more importantly, continuous monitoring data of millions of people vaccinated. So we have really excellent safety and effectiveness for that vaccine. The vaccine, the study that was just done or submitted for FDA approval really looked again at giving this vaccine in just younger adolescents, and again saw same level of safety and extreme effectiveness as far as keeping people from even getting the virus at all. And, you know, the only thing is we know that younger people tend to have slightly more side effects or immune, you know, robust immune response to the vaccine. And they saw that, and that's something that we expect. Mm-hmm. And one thing, Gemma, I do want to add that was, you know, in talking about vaccinating kids, I think it's super important to remember, you know, yes, it is very rare for children to become very ill or even die from COVID. It's not unheard of, but it's rare. But we do have to keep in mind that not all kids are able to mount a robust immune response to the vaccine. So if we think about, you know, kids undergoing chemotherapy or on medications mm-hmm. because they have an autoimmune condition. So again, our making sure we get as many kids vaccinated as possible is going to help all people, not just the kids getting vaccinated.
Right. Hey, Dr. Dow, we have a question from a listener. They say teachers and parents often complain that children can catch and share all kinds of bugs with everybody else. So how true is that for children ages 12 to 15? Are they more likely to spread COVID-19 than adults? And then they also go on to say, will getting kids vaccinated help slow the pandemic in the United States?
Great questions. Kids do tend to have asymptomatic infection at high rates or very mild symptoms that they might not even realize are COVID, and so may not modify their behavior because they're not feeling sick, and so may be in contact with people and spread unknowingly. In addition, with the new variants, the British variant is widespread in Idaho. It is more transmissible. So we've got that factor playing in. These vaccines have proven to stop transmission of COVID very effectively in many studies, on top of preventing symptomatic and asymptomatic illness.
Dr. McGeorge, another parent writes in saying, what kind of side effects, if any, will my kids see with the vaccine?
Gemma, they can expect to see the same side effects that they may have seen too. So again, they may have a sore arm. Again, we see sometimes, I would say fatigue is the most common side effect, but also could be headache, just mild malaise or just not feeling great. Typically, if it happens, typically more likely to occur with a second dose and just for a day or two. So as I kind of think of the timeline here, and I reflect back to what Dr. Pate said too, with like, hang in there, you know, school, we only have a few more weeks of school. So yeah, when we can get these kids vaccinated, you know, the first kids get to get vaccinated will be tomorrow. 3 weeks from tomorrow, they get their booster. 2 weeks later, they are really in that window where they are effectively vaccinated. And so really important that we just hang in there a little longer and get these kiddos vaccinated.
Yeah, I told my 13-year-old, which is weird to say since he just turned 13, is one of the side effects is that he'll actually be able to get to do more things. Like we will up our restrictions on him. Dr. Payne, another person wrote in wondering if their children can get the vaccine from their pediatrician. And I will add on that I wonder if this is where some of the hesitancy comes from, is if you can't go to your trusted doctor for your children, that might make you hesitate a bit about getting your child vaccinated.
Yeah, Gemma, it's a good point. You know, you can't lump all the people with hesitancy into one category, that there's one thing that they're hesitant about. There's actually many. And I think a key thing when we're dealing with people that are hesitant, you know, many of them are kind of on the fence. So whatever you can do to make it easy, to make it convenient, that's typically going to help. I've been a big fan of taking these mobile vaccination sites out to the schools because, you know, kids have busy schedules too. So it may be hard for them to get to a doctor's office during the weekday, during the same hours they're in school. The problem is, as Dr. McGeorge mentioned, we do have to have parental consent. So that makes it a little trickier, but that can be worked around. The thing about with physicians, there are pediatricians that are offering this vaccine, but there's probably not a lot. I know Primary Health Medical Group does, Salser Medical Group does, and the reason is we don't require physicians, they have to be participating, give the vaccine. There are a lot of hoops that you have to go through to administer the vaccine. There is some, you know, paperwork, computer work. There's some hassles. And so small practices may not feel very well prepared and able, particularly with the additional burdens of the storage requirements. So I'm really grateful to St. Luke's, to St. Al's, to Crush the Curve, Salser, Primary Health, all these that are trying to make it easy. But your point is right. I think a lot of people would feel better if it was their own pediatrician. But let's please just encourage your listeners. All these sites I just mentioned, they do have physicians there. It's the same vaccine. They'll have the medical care right there to be able to take care of you in the very, very remote chance that there is a problem. So please do go get the vaccine.
Dr. Dow, another listener just wrote in saying, why is 12 years old the cutoff? Why can't I get my 10 or 11 year old vaccinated or even younger?
I mean, I think on some level it's arbitrary, but the vaccine are trying to study bit by bit to get as much of the population vaccinated as possible. And there probably is no big difference between an 11 and 12 year old immune system. But as we get to younger children, we know in infants, the immune system is evolving rapidly to maturity, but both Pfizer and Moderna are studying down to 6 months of age when we think the immune system may be able to respond well. So I think it's more logistical, but maybe some of the other physicians on a call have insight on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm curious, Dr. McGeorge, are you hopeful that we'll at least, you know, I mean, we're at the end of the school year, school starts up again in mid-August in Idaho. Are you hopeful that at least school age children may be eligible to be vaccinated by the time we start the next school year?
Well, I think, you know, starting tomorrow, we should be able to vaccinate every kid that is junior high and high school age. And there's more than enough vaccine out there now that there's really no reason why we cannot have all of those kids vaccinated before school starts. And again, remember, from the day you get your shot, then you have to count forward 5 weeks, right? So as far as the younger kids, now if we start talking about elementary age kids, I think the timeline is more late summer, maybe even Labor Day, September, around there, that we may see approval. And then of course, you've got another 5 weeks, right, from when the shot to when we have effectiveness. But again, you know, if you think about the more and more, you know, if we can get this wave of junior high school kids through, get them done, then we've got, you know, we incrementally are just making it harder and harder for the virus to find a host. And that's really what we want to do, is cut down on disease spread, and it reduces the likelihood of getting variants.
We're going to take another quick break. I know, Dr. McGeorge, you have to leave us. I thank you so much for your time today, and especially hopefully easing some concerns about parents out there when it comes to vaccinating their kiddos. We'll have more with our medical experts next. Continuing our conversation with our medical experts, Dr. Pate, Meg from Boise wrote in today. Her son and daughter-in-law live in Alberta, Canada. They just received their first dose of Moderna, but she says since Canada is behind with the vaccine, they will not get their follow-up shot for 16 weeks. So how effective is just one shot, and will the booster in 16 weeks up their current immunity, or will they essentially need to start over?
Yeah, it's a good question, and we don't completely know the answer to that question because we haven't tested the vaccine that way. So the first question about how effective the first shot is, it really depends upon effective against what. And the reason I say that is there are so many variants out there, and Canada has been having even more of a challenge with the variants than we have, and they have some of their own variants that, you know, we don't exactly know. We do know how effective these vaccines are against what we call the wild type virus, the type of virus that we've dealt with here in the United States for the past year. We have a reasonably good idea how effective it is against the UK variant, which is now predominant in the United States, and the answer is extremely effective. And we do have reason to believe that the vaccine is at least, if it won't keep you from getting infected, it will at least very likely keep you from getting very sick, being hospitalized, or die with any of the variants that we have currently identified in the United States. So I think the answer is that those Canadians, they do have a fair amount of protection from the first shot, but they should still exercise caution because they're not going to have the complete effectiveness until after the second shot. And as I said, Canada has some variants that we haven't even identified here yet. So we just don't know how effective it is. Now, the second part of the question is stretching the vaccine out that far. We didn't study that. We have given the vaccine here in these trials within a month. So now you're talking about 4 months. We have to say we don't know. However, given our understanding of immunology, we would imagine that getting the second shot in that window of 4 months should still likely give them roughly the same response. So I'm not too worried about that. I wouldn't intentionally spread it out that long, but if they have to, I still would get the second shot, and I think they will get just the same protection. Key is just continue to be careful between the first and the second.
And Dr. Dow, we only have about 2 minutes left, but John wrote in wanting to know about the Indian variant. We know that the country of India is just being devastated right now, that the Indian variant has reached North America. So he's wondering, what threat does this represent to Americans, and can we contain that?
Well, as we've been discussing, the key to containing that is to getting as much of our population vaccinated, including teenagers and children. The more transmission we have, the more opportunity for variants to propagate and become dominant in our communities. The Indian variant is concerning because it's as transmissible as the British variant. So that is significantly more transmissible than the wild type virus that we've been dealing with, that Dr. Pate just referred to. There is a concern about whether it causes more severe disease as well, and we're working that out. There is also a concern that the vaccines will have reduced activity against it, but we don't have a lot of data on that yet. We know with other variants, the most difficult one is the South African variant. There's about a tenfold reduced neutralization with our current vaccines compared to wild type, but it's still protective immunity. And we think that will be the same with the Indian variant. So still very worth getting vaccinated, likely to still protect from severe disease.
I want to thank both of you for your time today. Our thanks to Dr. David Pate and to infectious disease expert Dr. Birgit Dow with Sawtooth Epidemiology. Thank you both so much. We'll have more Idaho Matters next.